it's Luke. There's just 9 games left, so what do the Arizona Diamondbacks have to do on their final road trip of the season to secure a playoff spot? We'll get going tomorrow at 10 a.m. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports.
We'll talk a little D-backs baseball coming up in about 15 minutes. And again, if you're just tuning in, the big news that Gambo had in the last segment that undoubtedly we'll keep talking about throughout the course of the day is that the anticipation of a possible Damian Lillard trade sometime in the next 24 hours or so. Yeah. And when that happens, there could be a domino effect, and that domino effect could involve Yusef Nurkic, and that domino effect might possibly involve the Phoenix Suns as well and DeAndre Ayton. So it's certainly something we spent the whole last segment talking about. Like I said, we'll keep talking about it and what it means. But if you're just tuning in, if you're just getting in your car or you missed our last segment, I certainly don't want to sweep that under the rug by any stretch. Our radar is on right now. We are waiting for, okay, kind of like one of those, we're just sitting on the edge of our seat thinking something might happen. So if something happens, and if there is indeed a domino effect, I can assure you, you're going to want to keep it right here. And you're certainly going to want to follow Gambo on Twitter, at Gambo987, because he puts a lot of this stuff out there when he gets it. The other big story of the day today is in the National Football League, and I really don't think it impacts much what happens this weekend. There's a caveat to that, and I'll get to that in a minute. But the big news today in the NFL is that Trayvon Diggs, the all-everything cornerback for the Dallas Cowboys, he's out for the season with a torn ACL. I believe I saw on X that it has been confirmed by the Dallas Cowboys, right?
Yes.
This is no longer a rumor. This is Cowboys have come out and said he's out. He's done.
Yes.
He one-on-one drills. Not exactly sure what happened. He was seen on crutches in the locker room afterwards, and word quick. I mean, it happened so quick, and I'll just full transparency with the audience here. We had taped an interview with a Dallas Cowboys insider at about 1 o'clock. We got done with that interview about 1:10. We were going to play it back sometime during our show today. We had to nuke the whole thing. Well, we're not playing it because it's irrelevant now. Like he didn't know about the Trayvon Diggs injury. We that was not news to us in the moment when that happened. That's how quickly this thing came down. And I got to imagine in Dallas right now, they are reeling with this news.
Devastating. Brutal blow for them. You know, they'll probably put Deron Bland out there at outside cornerback. But Diggs, 2-time Pro Bowl player. They had just signed him to a huge contract extension. He broke up a couple of passes. Only 8 passes were thrown in his direction, and he gave up 2 receptions for 26 yards and had a pick in his first 2 games. Quarterbacks have a league low rating when thrown against Diggs. He has been great, and this is a big blow to them. He's got 18 career interceptions. In 2021, he tied the single-season franchise record with 11 picks. They gave him a 5-year, $97 million extension in July, and now he's going to be out for all of this year, and we'll see if he's able to come back early next year. But you know, if you're going to have this injury, you're going to lose the season. But it's a lot better to have this injury in September than it is to have it in December.
Yeah.
So that gives them some hope that they can get him back for next season.
All right, Dave Hellman is the host of the NFL on Fox podcast. He covers the NFL and the Dallas Cowboys for Fox Sports. He was asked a question on social media on a level of freakout level 1 to 10. Where should we be? And his response was, you should be very bummed that you don't get to see a great player like Trayvon Diggs for the rest of the season, and sad that the Dallas defense won't reach the same height it could have. But between the talent on hand and Dan Quinn's ability as a defensive coordinator, it is not a season sinker for the Dallas Cowboys. Now, there have been other posts of support on X. Micah Parsons tweeted out, I am my brother's keeper. I got you 7. No more need to be said. Others who have said, don't think this bleep gonna stop at all. Prayers for my little brother Trey Day. There's been more reaction to it. Does it impact what happens on Sunday? The only way I can see it impacting Sunday at all, is if there's a hangover. Like our season's done. Everything we worked for is gone. We got off to a 2-0 start. We were maybe the best team in the NFL, and we just lost one of our top 4 players, top 3 players, wherever you put them. If there's an emotional hangover with that they have a hard time overcoming, then yeah, maybe it impacts the game on Sunday. I think Dallas has too much talent for this to impact the game on Sunday, but I do think it's certainly puts them down a notch or two on the pecking order in the NFC.
What helps Diggs is that crazy pass rush is that's getting to all those quarterbacks, right? There's not a lot of time. So, you know, you're a secondary guy for Dallas. You don't have to run with the guys for as long. You don't have to cover for as long. So, you know, you're able to go out there and, you know, stick with your guy for a shorter amount of time because that pass rush is going to get to the quarterback. So that's still Dallas's strength and their benefit. So I think that that's a key there, right? They're wreaking havoc on quarterbacks. They're getting pressure. They're getting hits. Knockdowns and sacks and all of those things. So, you know, can they afford to lose Diggs, you know, against the Cardinals? Yes. As you start to play better teams, like, you know, teams that are good and have good offensive lines and good pass protection and can maybe hold off that pass rush, then absolutely that's going to be a factor not having Diggs.
Yeah, it kind of falls in line with a conversation that we had yesterday on the show. The Dallas Cowboys, the last Super Bowl they won was here. The first Super Bowl we ever hosted in Phoenix, Arizona, Sun Devil Stadium back in 1997, which is Super Bowl 30, whichever year that was. They haven't won one since. I don't even think they've been to a conference championship game since they went to the Super Bowl. I mean, they haven't been to the NFL's version of the Final Four. One of the things the guy told us before we decided we had to nuke the interview was that in his 25 years of covering the Dallas Cowboys, he thought this was the best team that they had ever assembled. And so that, to me, is the bigger picture takeaway here, is if you're just looking at the NFL in general, you know, is this the Jets losing Aaron Rodgers? No. Is this a notch or two below that?
Yeah.
I do. I think so. And I think this is one of those injuries where you just kind of shake your head and go, man, that's just so Dallas, isn't it? That's just so, it's always something there.
I said earlier, it's like, you know, it's like sometimes we feel like that here in Phoenix. You can't have nice things.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden you get, you know, Dallas, everything's going great, and you lose your two-time Pro Bowl cornerback who's one of the better ones in the league. And it's not only like an injury, it's not like it's a two-week injury. He's out for the year.
He's out for the season. And I can hear some people out there right now who are maybe yelling at their car saying, yeah, but Dallas has won championships. Dallas has won Super Bowls. And yes, they have. But kind of like the conversation you and I had a couple of weeks ago, it was a long time ago when they won those Super Bowls, right?
Yes.
And you can only, like if you're a, we had this conversation when Rodgers went out. You can only hang your hat on Joe Namath and the 69 Jets so many times, right? That was a long time ago. There are Cowboy fans walking around this world right now. They don't remember Dallas Cowboys winning Super Bowls.
No.
They don't remember what, they've read the books, they've seen the YouTubes, they've watched the highlights, but they don't know. They haven't experienced. It's been that long. So, yeah, it's easy to say, oh, you're not cursed. You've won a bunch of Super Bowls. When you've gone as long as the Dallas Cowboys have, and when you've had teams good enough to win Super Bowls as the Cowboys have, and you haven't, yeah, I can see why you might feel a little cursed.
Yes.
Why you might feel like your team's got something going against it, right?
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, you got a lot of time here to, they've got good depth at that position. You've got some time now to figure out things. You've got the trade deadline coming up. If you're all in on the trade deadline, you could always look at these teams that aren't going anywhere and make a play for a quarterback. There's a lot better for this to happen now in some ways than this to happen after the trade deadline's over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, towards the in November or December. That's not good for this. So now gives you the option to, you know, to still add guys to the roster, make a trade if you want to make a trade, and work with the guys. The guys that you have on your roster now have a lot of time to get up to speed, and you're not just throwing them into the fire with three games left in the season and then the playoffs.
All right, listen today and tomorrow. Today, be listening at 5:20 in the afternoon. Tomorrow, you can listen at 7:20 a.m., 12:20 p.m., and 5:20 p.m. Of course, management would like me to remind you, you can listen all day if you'd like. You don't have to listen on just those days. We're giving you the chance to win tickets to go see the Cardinals take on the Cowboys. Be caller number 10 when you hear your cue to call in, and you will score two tickets to the big game. When we come back, are the Diamondbacks in search of a new home in the Valley, or are they looking for an improved home in the Valley? We haven't talked about this one in a while. We've got some new information to pass along to you. You'll hear it next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
ESPN LSU football fans have had this one circled on the calendar. The Sun Devils host the Trojans Saturday night in Tempe for a 7:30 kickoff. Hear pregame, play-by-play, and postgame on 98.7 and the Arizona Sports app.
Just real quick, on that game, we did have some time carved out to talk about that today, and I imagine we will certainly tomorrow on a Football Friday. But when it comes to ASU-USC, Drew Pine going to start at quarterback? That's the plan?
That's what I'm hearing. Okay. Yeah, I'm hearing Drew Pine is going to start at quarterback for ASU. I don't know if that's out yet at all.
I haven't seen it, but I know we were talking about it, and then all hell broke loose with the Trailblazer stuff. So I wanted to pass that along out there, but you that's what you're hearing, is that Drew Pine is going to be the starter on Saturday against USC. What you had not heard earlier is that USC is 33.5 point favorites at that
I did
game.
Not hear that.
Your brain exploded on the air when you heard that one.
Right,
man.
I did.
And for what, like, for if you're really inside media thing, if you've been following this at all, USC did give media rights back to that reporter that they had suspended for 2 weeks.
Oh, they did?
Lincoln Riley, they announced today.
Yeah, because Bill Plaschke wrote a column just blasting them on it.
Coast to coast, people have been blasting them. They banned this reporter for 2 weeks because they said he violated some of their rules, and most reporters looked at what he did, and it was not that big of a deal at all. So the God complex among college football coaches, man, it continues. Sometimes these guys, they just think they are, the Diamondbacks, I was just thinking for a second where we were going here. The Diamondbacks, they are off today. They're on their way to New York. They might be there now, for what I know. They tell you the Yankees tomorrow, 1-3. Then they've got 3 against Chicago White Sox on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Another off day. 3 at home against the Houston Astros, and that's it. That's the season. They're done. We went through the playoff numbers earlier. It was a very, very good night for the Arizona Diamondbacks last night. In essence, everybody lost but them. And so because of that, now they, in the loss column, that they're the number 2 out of 3 wild card teams. In the loss column, they have a 1-game lead over the Cubs. They have a 2-game lead over the Marlins. They have a 3-game lead over the Cincinnati Reds. And they have the tiebreaker over the Cubs. So in essence, they have a 2-game lead in the loss column over the Chicago Cubs. So right now, there is, in the loss column, just in the loss column, no team is within 2 games, is closer than 2 games from the Arizona Diamondbacks with 9 to play.
That's a cushion, right? You lose a game, you don't panic. You lose 2 games, you worry a little bit. You lose 3, okay, then panic. But it does give you the ability to lose a baseball game and not like all hell's broke loose, right? Yeah. Gives you the ability, you go out there tomorrow, you lose a game, it's like, okay, you're still in a wild card spot. So there is a little bit of cushion there. You've created a little, but just very little of a cushion for the Diamondbacks. What you want to avoid more than anything is you want to avoid being swept in any of these 3 series that are left.
No doubt. And the only game today that has any kind of impact on this at all, the Cubs are hosting the Pirates this afternoon at 4:40. When that game starts, we'll give you complete updates on it, because that's really the only one that the Reds aren't playing today, the Marlins aren't playing today, and of course the D-backs are off as well. So we don't want to take our eye off the ball on this one. What matters most is the Diamondbacks' playoff push, okay? And so this is a secondary issue right now, but at some point this is going to become, it has been a thing for a while now, but resolution needs to happen at some point. What I'm talking about is the future of Chase Field. And I'm talking about the future of the Arizona Diamondbacks at Chase Field. The great Nick Pecoro, longtime beat writer who covers the Diamondbacks for AZ Central, did a one-on-one with Derek Hall. And President and CEO Derek Hall said his focus at the moment right now is finding a way to remain at Chase Field, though he said the organization so far has been unable to find the kind of public-private partnership to make that happen. Quote, "I'm starting to get concerned with the timing," Hall said. "I don't think the city officials in particular understand the urgency of our lease, which expires in 2027. Over the last couple of days, we've seen announcements of new stadiums for the Tampa Bay Rays. The Milwaukee Brewers apparently are going to renovate their building. Both proposals have hurdles they need to clear, but both proposals involve potential public funding." And here's what Hall said, quote, "We don't have our hand out, but if you look at some of the other situations very similar to ours, like Milwaukee, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, in each case, they are getting strong investments from the public, from a mixture of city, county, state, and we just aren't."
Yeah, basically, you know, we're willing to fit a lot of this bill, which is up to 75% of the bill, but like, we need a little bit of help here too.
Yeah.
You know, we want a little bit of a private-public type, partnership here.
Yeah, this is what Derek Hall said. This is back on May 18th, when he was talking about how much money it would take to upgrade Chase Field.
I'm not sure what their timeline is, but you're right. We do have more time because we're in a ballpark that is, you know, it's still, look, it needs a lot of work. And we've talked about hundreds of millions of dollars that we need to put in this ballpark, and we're willing to. In addition to that, just to bring it up to code, you know, and up to fan experience or code and make it a comp to some of the newer ballparks, we've said we're going to probably have to put $400 to $500 million in the ballpark that obviously we don't have. We're going to have to borrow and raise, but we're willing to do that. So I'm not sure what the timeline is. That's why we can take a little more time to see if it's going to work here and see just how the partnerships would align and what other opportunities we would have around the ballpark, which is so important, as we've mentioned in the past.
In the story, he added the Diamondbacks would be willing to fork over, quote, more than, close quote, 75% of the cost.
Right, right. But not 100% of the cost. So they want to, you know, have a partnership with the, you know, with the town, with the city to try to, you know, get some things done. Look, obviously that ballpark needs to be completely redone. Okay. Now the problem is the cost to build a new ballpark right now is outrageous because the price of everything is higher and the interest rates are a lot higher, right? You borrow money, it's a lot higher, the interest rate. So the cost of building something new is different now than it was 5 years ago. Much different. So to build, just like start a new ballpark and build a new ballpark, everything is so damn expensive. It almost doesn't make sense. So it might make sense to refurbish it. But as we know, they can't even open and close that roof while the game is going on. I used to be able to look up and see the scoreboards in left and right field and see the scores of the games. But now they don't have the light bulbs for the scoreboards.
Yeah.
The AC, the first day of the Morgan Wallen concert, one of the ACs went out. People were sweating their asses off. I went there the second day. They fixed it by then. Like, that place needs to be redone. They also need to take out about 10,000 seats.
Yeah.
So I am totally on board with a redo of that stadium. I like where it is. I like the location. It's pretty easy to get in and out of. Parking's fine. But that ballpark needs a lot of work if they're going to stay there.
It does. And I mean, look, there's only so much they can do. A lot of the, you know, get the roof to open, get the roof to close, fix the AC, a lot of the infrastructure stuff that needs to be fixed. The general overall vibe of the ballpark, I don't know what they can do about that. Now I say that I wasn't sure what they could do with Footprint Center, and what they were able to do with that building in their renovation has been extraordinary. It's like a brand new building, and it's the same building it was before. They just made all the change. I'm sure they could do something to Chase Field that would make it look extraordinary and make it feel different and make it play different. But the overall kind of cavernous feel of it, I remember Derek Hall telling us on opening day, there's only so much they can do about that, right? I mean, it's they can take out seats, but it's still gonna feel big. It's still gonna feel, especially in the upper deck around the foul poles, right? It's just gonna feel cavernous up there. And so I would be really curious to see what renovations they could do and how much that would impact the feel of the ballpark and the experience of going to the ballpark.
Yeah, it's a great point, right? I mean, unless you can, like, you know, just make it, you can't really shrink it, right?
You can take seats out,
but, you know, it's like putting a tarp up or something. Like, you could take these seats out, but the feel of the ballpark is still going to be extremely big. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what they could do. I don't know what they could do to cut that down. There's got to be something you could do to make it smaller, right? There's got to be something you could do. We just don't, instead of just taking the seats out, there's got to be something you could do to, like, eliminate a portion of that building and just cut it down by 20%.
Yeah. He talked about all the things. Again, this is on AZ Central. He talked about all the things that needed to be fixed. And he said, quote, which is why we need to know by the end of this year, so we can move forward. It is things like that. Leaks throughout the building, electrical problems, a roof that we can't open with fans in it, an HVA system issues, 26-year-old building in the middle of a desert. I'm willing to invest in it, but I've got to know that I'm going to be here. And when he means here, he means downtown Phoenix. He means Chase Field. And that's why it's so critical that we start the timeline as soon as we can. Text us your thoughts on Chase Field. Excuse me. On the FanDuel text line.
I got you covered right now. You need me?
That.
I'm here for you.
I'm good. FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. All summer, we have told you a trade involving DeAndre Ayton was unlikely to happen. Has that changed? You're going to want to stay tuned for this next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
It's Hey all, Dan Bickley here, and join us for another Football Friday as the Cardinals prep for the Cowboys and a road game in Glendale. Bickley and Murata morning starting at 6 on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
All right, right now we are live from the Oxygen Community Studios here on the Burns and Gambo Show. As once again, Gambo's off doing the Gambo thing.
I look. You know what's funny? I laugh. We tease a segment involving Gambo, and
where'd he go?
Where is he?
he was here just a second ago. Days like today, man, I tell you, he is a whirling dervish.
I have a question for you,
please.
And I apologize if I didn't get a chance to hear it because it's been one of those days.
It's been a day. Yeah, it's been a day.
Did you get a full reaction on your own part about Ayton potentially being involved in a trade?
What do you mean?
Like, how do you feel about that?
Oh,
As the Suns fan.
I did. We were stalling because Gambo, I assume you're off doing the Gambo thing. Yeah. No, that's fine. It's fine. To answer Mitch's question, and then we'll get back into the news that Gambo had. I've been advocating an Ayton trade for pretty much all summer and had been resigned to the fact that it wasn't going to happen. Now that it potentially could happen, I kind of actually wanted to see him on this team for a little bit. I really kind of wanted to see how a new coach and a new system and maybe a new attitude, how it was going to impact him and affect him. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm not trying to go back on my word here. I don't know if DeAndre Ayton is capable of doing the things that this organization is going to need him to do, but how could you not have been intrigued by how he played for the Bahamas over the summer?
I do wonder if part of this is wanting to get off that contract and just free up some flexibility for other players maybe down the road. I do. Or maybe the feeling is DeAndre just never really going to fit in because he wants to be, you know, the Joe Johnson type. Is DeAndre the Joe Johnson of this era? Does he want to be more than the fourth option offensively? Now, Jurkic, look, I don't love Jurkic. I think he's serviceable. I think he's a good rebounder. I think he's an above average defender. I got a lot of people saying he's not a good defender. He's not a great defender. He rebounds the basketball. He sets picks. He's just definitely a serviceable big man. He's big. He's big. So he does give you that. He's been top eight in the league in rebounding before. I don't think he's a bad defensive player. A lot of people are getting on me on Twitter because I said Vogel needs a defensive minded guy. Okay. Granted, he's not the best defensive minded guy. Okay. My bad on that, but he's not. I think he's an above average defender, had a broken leg. He was a better defender before they brought in Chauncey Billups. He was a better defender before they changed their defense around. But he's been on bad teams that were tanking in some ways, and I think that hurt some of his metrics. He doesn't move that well.
Yeah, no.
He's a little bit older. He doesn't move that well. It's a better player than anybody that they've been offered before, which is why I think that they will consider this if it becomes available.
Okay, we got ahead of ourselves a little bit, mostly because we were stalling, because you were off doing the Gambo thing, and we weren't sure when you were going to get back. Let's reset and restart for a minute. Why are we talking about DeAndre Ayton and Yusuf Nurkic, and why are we...
Damian Lillard.
Why are we, okay, so let's talk about that. You are thinking that we might be close to a Damian Lillard trade.
Yes.
And when that happens, dominoes could fall all across the NBA potentially, but certainly centering on the Portland Trailblazers roster, right?
Could be very, very soon. I think definitely before camp, but I think very, very soon a Lillard trade could happen. I've said could be within 24 hours. It might be more longer than that, but I would not be surprised if something comes down quickly.
Okay, so when a Lillard trade, if a Lillard trade happens.
Yeah, and there's three or four teams right now that are in on a potential Damian Lillard trade.
And I'm just kind of recapping from our previous conversation here. Then the Portland Trailblazers might be inclined to really redo the roster, and at that point, you're saying it's possible that a DeAndre Ayton, Yusuf Nurkic trade. Obviously, there would be more. There would be others. There'd be more. You know, more to it than just that.
Sure, there would probably be others involved. It would not be a straight one for one trade. I'll tell you that there will be others involved.
But you believe a potential domino of a Damian Lillard trade would potentially involve DeAndre Ayton, Yusuf Nurkic, and others, potentially.
Yeah, and it could. Listen, Portland had no interest in DA over the summer. June, July, August, no interest in him. And that was because their intentions were always to keep Damian Lillard. So they did not have interest in DeAndre Ayton. Now, when you look at Dame being gone, and you see a team starting over, okay, with Dame gone, that changes everything. Dame on the roster, no interest in DeAndre Ayton. Dame gone? All right, let's start over with a 25-year-old center. Let's start over. He's got what? He's got 3 years left on his contract now.
$100 million
Yeah,
or so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he's 25 years old. He's just had coming off a really good, you know, Olympic qualifying tournament for the Bahamas. Okay. We could do that. And then you move off of Nurkic, who's older, has had some injuries. He's slower. You know, for the Suns, Nurkic might be a good fit, setting screens, rebounding the basketball. Serviceable. I think Nurkic is serviceable.
Go ahead.
That's where it would come from. It would come from if Dame gets traded, that changes the whole, you know, what is Portland going to do now? And that's where I think that's where I think the Suns could be like a mystery team involved in a deal.
Look, is DeAndre Ayton, is Yusef Nurkic a better player than DeAndre Ayton? I think you'd be hard-pressed to make a compelling argument that he is. But I also think the question might be better framed as saying, is Yusef Nurkic more willing to do the things that need to be done at the center position for the Phoenix Suns than DeAndre Ayton is? And I think, at least in my own mind, when I frame the question that way, is he better? No. DeAndre Ayton has an unbelievable skill set. Every tool in the tool belt you'd ever want outside of a 3-point shot. But is he as willing to do the stuff that needs to be done as Yusef Nurkic would be? And that ultimately is the question you have to ask. Now, I try to avoid the whole "I told you so" thing. I don't love doing that. But I will say this. I had suspected all, and you know this, I had suspected all summer that the main reason why DeAndre Ayton was still on this roster was because nobody was giving them any kind of offer that they were even remotely interested. And while they were publicly saying all the right things,
yeah,
he's our guy, oh, he's great, we can't wait to work with him,
there were no
blah,
good
blah,
offers.
Blah. I always believed that the core of that was sort of this, we're not getting any offers for him, so if you can't be with the one you love, love the one you're with, and we're going to do that with DeAndre Ayton. Now that this has come down, I think this kind of exposes that a little bit, right? This just sort of shines a light on the idea that they wanted to move him. They just weren't getting a lot of nibbles on it that made them even interested. And this one might be enough of a nibble to make them interested in the move.
Yeah.
That's just my take. That's my interpretation of this.
Right. I don't disagree with you. I mean, I think that this is very contingent on a Damian Lillard deal. I would expect that if something did happen, it would not be just a one for one, that there will be other players involved in the deal. So, but again, I think you just at least consider it. Like, you consider, again, Portland, I think, would want to move off of Jokic at that time and start over. And that would be a player. I'm just saying, okay, this is what I'm saying. I would not be surprised if Dame gets traded, if that gets visited. That's all. Like, I would not be surprised if that gets visited. You know, potentially DeAndre Ayton and Jokic involved in something. That you know, I'm not saying it's a done deal. I'm just saying I wouldn't be surprised if that gets talked about.
Yeah. So Nurkic, I looked him up. I need to look up the injuries. I know he's missed time the last few years. I don't know why. I'll look that up at some point during the break because I don't remember off the top of my head. Salary-wise, he is in for 16.9 this year, 18.1 next year, 19.4 the year after that. So roughly 17, 18, 19, 3 years left on his contract that he signed. I'm not sure when he signed it, but that's the salary cap figure. And it doesn't look like there's player options in there. Doesn't look like there's team options in there. It looks like it's him for 3 more years, making on average about $18 million over the course of
right.
that contract.
So there is a money savings here that we can't ignore, right?
Sure, of course not.
Yeah, we can't ignore the fact that
$36 million a year?
Yeah, we can't ignore the fact that you're getting off of a contract. And then you're adding one guy's contract with how many years did you say he has left on the deal?
3 years left on the deal.
3 years left on the deal for Ayton. And how much for Nurkic? Nurkic is 3 too.
Nurkic is 3 years too.
Yeah. So that will be another player involved.
Oh, yeah, to make the numbers work.
There will be another player involved.
Nurkic signed a 4-year, $70 million contract with the Trailblazers. a couple of years ago. So I'm looking at the salary, the breakdown of that salary right now. But he's got $70 million. Yeah, and there's no there's no player options. There's no team options. It's a straight deal that's got him under contract through the 2025-26 season at about $18 million per year. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show here on Arizona Sports, back to the Cowboys and back to the Cardinals and their showdown on Sunday. It's pretty universal. Most people think the Cowboys are going to come in here and win. Are there any dissenting arguments to that conversation? We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo show.
Cardinals host the Cowboys for a Week 3 matchup in Glendale. Pregame hits early Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. with Dave Pasch, Ron Wolfley, and the kickoff Sunday afternoon at 1:25 on 98.7 and the Arizona Sports app.
It's going to be a busy Sunday out there at State Farm Stadium. Second home game of the year for the Cardinals. The Dallas Cowboys coming in. And obviously the big news of the day in the NFL is the loss suffered by the Dallas Cowboys. Trayvon Diggs, their all-everything corner, out for the season, confirmed by the club, with a torn ACL. Suffered in practice today. He was covering somebody in one-on-ones, and he blew out his knee. Devastating blow. It's debatable how devastating. You know, in terms of what long-term impact that's going to have on the Dallas Cowboys, I think it's huge. I think it takes them out. I think it eliminates them from the competition to win the Super Bowl. But they're leaning on their depth. Still have great defense. Still have a lot of great players on that defense. Maybe it's enough for them to overcome. As far as this game coming up this weekend, I mean, look, we all, let's not kid around here. We all know what we're getting into this weekend around here. You got USC coming in on Saturday. They're a 33.5-point favorite.
I can't believe it.
You got the... Are you
really that surprised by that? 33.5?
Yeah. I mean, when you think about everything...
33.5.
Think about everything. Think about USC. Think about their quarterback. Think about the fact they're coming off a bye. Think about ASU. Their situation. Their health.
A 5 touchdowns.
Yeah, I know. I'm not that surprised by that. I'm not. I mean,
I didn't know. Like when you said it, I was like, come on, 33.5. Like, that's got to be wrong. I probably would have thought 3 touchdowns.
I was
21, 22.
At least 4 touchdown favorite. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, ASU's in a tough spot right now. And USC is
they
not.
Are.
They are not in a tough spot. And then you've got this Cowboys game. And like, trust me, we're not here to talk about point spreads per se. I'm just talking more kind of big picture about the daunting task in front of us this weekend. And brother, is it daunting. USC on Saturday night, the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday afternoon. It's a tough one. Now, that being said, kind of combing through the landscape a little bit last night and today, you and I both, look, no one's picking the Cardinals to win this game. No one's suggesting they're going to pull an upset. Although you and I both agree that if any team between ASU and the Cardinals are more likely to pull one, it's the Cardinals. Like if we're in here Monday and we're talking about a shock the world kind of moment, feels more likely it would be the Cardinals than ASU.
But probably, yeah.
But there are some people out there wondering if the Cardinals can keep it closer than we would expect. And they're citing a whole bunch of different reasons as to why the Cardinals could keep it closer than expected. And I think we got a new one today with the Trayvon Diggs injury. Maybe there's a little bit of an emotional hangover there for the Cowboys.
Ooh.
Maybe they're feeling sorry for themselves a little bit because they just lost one of their 4 best players, 5 best players, wherever you want to put them on the list, 2 best players, wherever you want to put them on the list.
That's not grasping at straws. That could be an effect there, that they just lost one of their key players and, you know, not going to have him for the whole season. And that's a big blow. He's a leader on the team. He's a great player. And you know, that could be a little... I fully expect they're going to come in here and going to take care of business because they're just talented beyond belief with so much talent that alone should let them to win. But they have to show up and play.
Yeah. Now, this is very point spread here, but over... This is a note you sent me. In fact, it was from the Washington Post. NFL best bets for week 3. Cover your eyes and take the Cardinals. That was the headline. And the number they pointed out was that over the last 2 full seasons, home underdogs getting 10.5 points. The Cardinals are getting 12.5 points. Home underdogs getting 10.5 points or more cover the spread 61% of the time. Now, that doesn't mean they win. It just means they don't lose by that giant, big, fat number that everybody thinks that they that Vegas is projecting they could lose by. They cover that spread 61% of the time. So there's that. And then I came across a couple of stats, too. Again, not suggesting that the Cardinals, by any stretch of the imagination, were going to win, but just kind of pointing out a couple things. One website I read suggesting that the Cowboys might not be that excited about this matchup because they're favored by so heavy. They, not that they would take the Cardinals lightly necessary, but they might be a little bored by this matchup. You know, they might be like, eh, it's the Cardinals. We got this.
And
we're
that
fine.
That could be the area where the Cardinals can get somebody, right? If they're going to get a win, an unexpected win. We talked yesterday about there's a lot of games out there that are potential wins if Kyler Murray comes back. We went over the Bears are a win. The Texans could be a win. A Rams game. Maybe a Seattle game. If Kyler comes back, these are games they can win. Not saying they're going to win, but these are games that they could win. They could possibly win some of those games. To beat a team that they're not supposed to beat, it's going to take that team coming in here and overlooking the Cardinals and the Cardinals playing out of their mind. The Cardinals have to play their best game of the season and the other team has to play their worst. And that's the Cowboys. Like, for the Cardinals to beat the Cowboys have to come in here and, you know what? This Cardinal team, oh my God, you know what? I'm going to stay out late playing video games. We're going to go hit the clubs in Scottsdale. You're not even paying any attention. You just think you're going to walk all over them. And then you come in and they surprise you because they play hard and they beat you.
Yeah.
That's the, like, that would be the only chance, and that's a slim chance.
You know what? You say that, and I don't know if it's going to happen this weekend. I think it's going to happen at some point this year. You know, I believe that when we get to the end of this year, that there will be a team that the Cardinals were really not supposed to beat, and they're going to beat them. And that's not me expressing any faith in the Cardinals necessarily. I think that's more just a lesson about the NFL. Man, that every year, just about, not every week, it doesn't happen every week, but every other week, there is a game where you go, wait, huh? The Titans just beat the Chargers?
Right.
What?
Yeah.
You know, like the week one last year, the Bears beat the 49ers? Huh? They did what? Right? Like, it's so common in the NFL that to think it's not going to happen or that it can't happen, I think is wrong. I think you don't have an understanding of the NFL and how it works if you think it's just impossible for it to happen. It's the National Football League. Stuff like that happens.
All the time.
I don't know if it's going to happen this weekend or not, but it's going to happen. At some point this year, the Cardinals will beat somebody they're supposed to beat.
You would say good chance that they'll beat somebody they're not supposed to beat.
Car payment. I don't know who.
Go through the list of who those teams are that they're not supposed to beat. You know, because there are Atlanta, Chicago, the Texans, Seattle, the Rams. That right there is seven games. That's seven games. Those, I wouldn't say that that's a big upset in any of those. Now, you go beat San Francisco.
Okay. Philly.
Cincinnati.
Baltimore.
Cincy's 0-2.
The Natty.
Is that a big upset?
If they beat Cincinnati?
Yeah.
If Joe Burrow's playing?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they are 0-2.
Whatever the record is, mm-hmm. I think if Joe Burrow is the starting quarterback of the Cincinnati Bengals and the Cardinals beat him,
right.
Like, in my mind, that counts. But maybe I'm just looking for something to validate right. my opinion. In my mind, I'm like, yep, that's the big win. There you go. That's the one that we weren't expecting. Can you imagine the freak out in Cincinnati if Joe Burrow is the starting quarterback on a Sunday afternoon and they lose to the Cardinals?
I think they're freaking out already because you know that 0-2 stat, and they're 0-2.
Yeah, it's just
going to enhance the freak out. And Burrow's got a calf injury, and he just hasn't been right.
All right, when we come back on the Burns and Gambo Show, busy day so far. What is going on in sports? Well, lucky for you, the 4 o'clock reset is next. We're going to get you caught up on everything going on in sports coming up here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.